Welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM on Thursday morning, the 19th of September.
The Boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. My name is Rafael Caleb. As part of this Melbourne Fringe series, interviewing performers who identify with a disability, we have a very esteemed guest, Jeremy Moses, who'll be talking about a comedy show, Hear/See No Evil. Welcome to The Boldness, Jeremy. How are you today?
Hello, Raphael. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How about you?
I am absolutely marvellous. Hear/No Evil. It's a show at Melbourne Fringe. It's got two stars of the show, Jeremy Moses and Emily Bigger. Tell us about your backgrounds, Jeremy.
Yeah, so we're both comedians. My name is Jeremy Moses. I'm visually impaired, a legally blind comedian, which is quite like a novel pursuit. Got a bit of pushback at the start, but I seem to have come into it. And Emily is the same. Emily's deaf, hard of hearing. And we both started comedy around the same time, last year, around this time. And now we're joining forces to do this show, Hear/See No Evil. And it's all about like our disabilities, and we miscommunicate, and we try and one-up each other. But eventually we tend to support each other and try and put on the best show possible.
Well, I'm going to let listeners in a bit of a secret here. I have seen Jeremy Moses perform poetry at the Lyrebird Lounge at Ribbon Lee. They're good friends. We've got mutual friends down there. And Jeremy, you have got a rather unique way with your poetry, with some very special sounds that go into it.
Oh, thank you so much for the compliment. Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah, last year I did a show for The Fringe called 157 Minutes of Bad Slam Poetry. And so you've seen me around the circuit performing and doing some poems and telling some jokes. And yeah, it's been good fun. And this show is like completely new, no poetry. There's a Shakespeare monologue in it as well. But it's kind of flexing a different muscle, which I think is very exciting.
How did Emily and yourself meet? Was it on the comedy circuit? What actually happened leading into Hear/See No Evil?
We met at the Bendigo Hotel. There used to be an open mic night there last year. And so she saw me do some comedy, and had seen my videos in the past. And we just kind of hit it off. We had like this amazing little spark where, we have a natural sort of chemistry, miscommunication, like kind of love for each other. It's quite, we hit it off straight away, and it comes across in this show.
Yep. Now, I've actually seen a few of the photo steals. Is that I can tell listeners, I'm going to do a visual description up from the images. Jeremy and Emily, they're wearing red and white blue jackets with stripes on. Underneath is a white top with a apricotty yellow bow ties, wearing straw hats. And they both look like they're having this excellent time with animated expressions on their face. It's actually a great set of stills, by the way, with big smiles where it's appropriate. And for example, the contrast between the two comedians, Emily and Jeremy, is that one still shows Jeremy looking absolutely astounded and surprised, while Emily has a big grin on her face. Another one is Jeremy is covering his eyes while Emily is covering her ears. This is great imagery. I can see why there's a mismatch of communication going on. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think that's the dynamic that we have. She's very cheeky and runs the show off the rails, and I'm very firm and I want to, you know, put on a good show. And my character gets frustrated with her character quite a bit. There's a bit of real life in it as well. But I'm glad that comes across. Yeah, we naturally bicker. We've been practicing, and we naturally do these things to each other. It's a great little relationship. And our show is very vaudeville. It's very like old fashioned theater. So when we're wearing the stripy jackets and the flat hats, it's very old fashioned comedy, vaudeville, circus. And we have a good time. Yeah, we have like these banters and miscommunication. It's great. Yeah, it's good fun.
Right, now with the banters and miscommunication, I've got a very, very, very vivid imagination, is that you don't have to answer it, but I'm very curious on how the two of you communicate, because basically I'm not too sure on how this might actually happen, because Auslan is essentially a visual language, and as someone who is blind, you're generally audio. How did you actually communicate to get this together? Or is that a show secret?
Oh, no, of course. It's very unique to us. She can hear a little bit. She's got hearing aids. So, and she lip reads. We both grew up in the 90s in the school system where schools didn't really teach deaf kids Auslan, and schools kind of wanted blind kids to integrate and not be considered, you know, special. Like, they gave us resources, like each of us, but we have a similar experience. And so she lip reads. She doesn't do Auslan because they didn't teach her that in school. So she lip reads. She's got hearing aids, and I can see it like a bit. It's very hard to explain my eyesight, but low vision. So we communicate and we miscommunicate from time to time. I don't see what she's signaling at me, and she doesn't hear when I tell her something. But we, like, that's part of the magic, isn't it?
Look, as I said, I think I personally, as someone who has been involved in creativity, not just as a radio host for 15 years, this, I think, is an absolutely hilarious concept of what may actually happen when you have two people with different ways of communicating about the same thing. And I, like I said, misunderstandings are going to actually occur. Now, speaking of which, when it comes down to accessibility, what are the ways that the show is accessible for audience members? What's been done about it?
Well, we're lucky enough to be performing at the Trades Hall, which is a fully accessible venue. They have a lift at the stairs at the front of the building, and it's accessible. It's got accessible bathrooms. It's very convenient, and they're lovely people, the Fringe. They're putting on a great festival. And we've actually got an Auslan interpreted session on the Sunday. So our shows are from October 2nd to the 6th. And on the Sunday, the 6th, we have an Auslan interpreted session, which is great. And that's at 7:15 p.m. And then so on the Saturday, the day before, we have a sensory-friendly, relaxed matinee. And it's going to be overseen by a representative who's been advising us on how to do it. And basically the house lights will be on. People can come and go as they please. It's an open door policy, open phone policy. If people are more comfortable with their phones, they're more than welcome to use them. And the lighting will be reduced in the show, and there'll be like the volume will be less. So it'll be catering to that kind of sensory friendly audience who requires that. And so that's a great way to be accessible as well. But the rest of our shows are also, they're very much about disability and accessibility, and we're trying to be inclusive and include people. So we talk a lot about our disabilities. Emily talks about her origin story and the strength of her disability. And the whole show is basically just celebrating disability. And get underestimated a lot, people with disability. And so if our show can achieve anything, it'll be showing that we can triumph and succeed. It's great. I'm glad to be part of that process.
Yeah, if I can understand that, is that we're going to still play around with this a little bit around accessibility, before playing some community service announcements. Now, Jeremy, what about levels of participation by the audience? Are the audience involved at different stages?
It's very low level interaction. Emily comes into the audience a little bit in the second act, but it's not. If anyone has any issues, we won't approach them. It's a safe space. Everyone should feel comfortable. We don't talk to the audience much. If we do, we get consent from the audience. And on the Saturday matinee, we'll cut that stuff out so people can come and feel comfortable and welcome. It's a very safe space.
Yep. Well, we're going to play some community service announcements, including the program sponsor, Club Mates Travel. Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR. 8:55 a.m. As part of the Melbourne Fringe special, we're talking with Jeremy Moses from a show called Hear/See No Evil. Now, I'm actually going to throw a bit of a wild card into this, Jeremy.
And
we're going to run with it and see what you think. Traditionally, it's Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil. Had you considered actually having someone who had lost their voice as part of Hear/See No Evil?
We'll gladly hold auditions. If you're welcome to join in, you're more than welcome to come help us out. Yeah, we'd love to have a third for sure. Our show has like a fun dynamic between the two of us, but there's definitely room for more. We could definitely include someone else for sure.
Right. And the name of the show, Hear/See No Evil, that's actually sounds like to me a very direct wordplay referencing that Emily identifies as part of the deaf, hard of hearing community, and Jeremy, you identify as part of the blind community or vision impaired, depending how politically correct I am feeling.
And there are lots of changes. I can't keep across.
Yeah, and the terminology changes that quickly. I really can't keep up with. I do the best which I can with this one. Now, sure, Jeremy, you go.
Oh no, I was just saying you're doing a great job.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. We're going to leave that part in. I can always do with some public praise. Now, is kind of like Jeremy, what are some of the barriers around access and inclusion that you personally have encountered on the comedy circuit or in performing, including poetry?
Oh, poetry has been really lovely. Like, poets are very nice people, like with the clicking, and, you know, they're very warm and respectful. Comedy is a little bit more rough and tumble sometimes. A lot of comedians make very crass jokes. A lot of comedians do bits about, you know, disability and use us as a punchline, which I'm not a huge fan of. But when I do comedy, it's very positive and I talk about my disability. When Emily does her comedy, she talks about her disability. And we're quite nice people, quite clean people. We don't really do the mean stuff. But I've been to many gigs where you know, the comedians haven't been particularly nice. And then I get up and, you know, they kind of feel bad afterwards, like, oh, what did I do? Why did I make that Down syndrome joke? Or, you know, why was I, you know, mean? Not directly to us as audiences, but when you're in the audience and a comedian makes like a deaf joke or a blind joke that's kind of misguided and not very clever, the audiences feel uncomfortable. I know me personally as an audience, I would feel uncomfortable. So I think that we're trying to raise the tone. And I have seen a change since I started doing comedy where all the rooms are starting to become more diverse and comedians are starting to be more respectful. So I'm not taking credit for it, but I think there is a change happening. The other part of accessibility in comedy is the venues. A lot of comedy rooms have a lot of stairs. Comedians have to, you know, be helped down the stairs to the basement in a lot of venues. A lot of venues, you can't have audiences with disability because it's too hard to get them in and out. That's just part of comedy, but I think venues are starting to get upgraded and there are more accessible venues on the comedy scene. So I think there's progress.
Well, I'm going to take you up on this one. What about, let's say, one of the big barriers at most venues is the actual stage, people being able to access a stage where there isn't, let's say, a ramp or there's not stairs. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Let's say, what actually happens, Jeremy, when you want to get onto a stage? Will the MC, would you ask them for assistance, or how does this actually work?
I tend to suss out the room in advance because I've also got like some balance issues. So when I get up on the stage, sometimes it's a bit hard depending on how high the stage is. A lot of times I'll suss it out and then I'll tell the MC, hey, just give me an extra hand when I'm coming up, and they'll give me like a firmer handshake and sort of help like lift me up onto the stage. Other times I've used a stick because I've been performing with an MC who, you know, himself uses a stick, and so I didn't want to pull him over at the same time. So I've used a stick, but I don't tend to like doing that much. Usually someone gives me a hand, the MC, to get up onto the stage, but it is a huge source of anxiety. In the lead up to the last comedy festival, the stage had milk crates to get up onto the stage, and milk crates famously don't work very well with sticks, so I couldn't use the cane to get up onto the stage because I would upturn the milk crate. So I did my set and everything, and then I was getting off the stage. I got big laughs. I was very happy talking about my disability. And then I had to get down off the milk crate. I was wearing heavy shoes, upturned the milk crate, fell on my backside. and the whole audience were like freaking out, like, whoa, what happened to Jeremy? And then I'm like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And the MC had a red face. it could have been much worse than it was. But that's just one of the things that happens. And very few venues have ramps. And a lot of venues have, you know, these tall band stages where they're kind of big and hard to get up on. But, you know, I make it work.
I said, Jeremy, I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. Mental health and comedy. Comedians are almost famous or infamous that mental health is affected by performing. What's been your experience as a comedian on how to manage your mental health?
Yeah, it's not easy. I know a lot of comedians who actually have conditions, diagnosed conditions, and they have a harder time than me. I haven't been diagnosed with anything, but I assume I'm non-neurotypical. and definitely being on stage has been therapeutic. And it does kind of lift the mood when you get laughs. It is quite a stressful process putting on shows. I did the comedy festival last year. I did the Melbourne Fringe last year. And it was quite stressful organizing it all, but it all comes together pretty well. I've been enjoying it. A lot of comedians are in therapy. A lot of comedians are on medication. It's perfectly fine, and they should definitely do that. For me, touch wood, I've been okay. But it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy, the wind is up here. We're going to actually ask you for a very short, what is the best reason for people to come and watch /see No Evil showing at Melbourne Fringe?
Oh, our show is very silly and it's very funny, but it also has some very important messages about disability and about acceptance and tolerance. It's a really fun show. It's a really fresh take on old-fashioned vaudeville. We sing, we dance, we act, we miscommunicate. It's great fun. Emily is quite easy on the eyes, and she's very nice. But also, we're funny, silly people, and we're there to have a good time, create a safe space for people to come and enjoy it. We have the accessible sessions. We'd love for as many people to come as possible. It's called
Sure people know how to come to your show. What are the show details? What time is it on the days? And how do people get tickets?
Our show is called Hear/See No Evil, and it's on October 2nd to October 6th at the Trades Hall, Festival Hub Trades Hall, which is the main venue that the Fringe is happening in Carlton. So from the 2nd to the 6th, and we have a sensory-friendly matinee on the Saturday, and we have an Auslan interpreted session on the Sunday. Otherwise, Wednesday to Friday, 8:15 p.m., Saturday, 3:30 p.m., and 8:15 p.m. as well. And then two shows on the Saturday, which will be intense. And then on the Sunday, 7:15 p.m., Auslan interpreted. And your audience can find tickets at melbournefringe.com.au. And if they type in Hear/See No Evil, you'll find where to get tickets. And also the phone number is 03-9660-9666. And just tell them you want tickets to our show, and you're more than welcome. We'd love to see you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for appearing on The Boldness. I can think of some very good reasons to go and see Hear/See No Evil. For example, Hear/See No Evil was a recipient of one of the Ralph McLean micro grants. It means it's being picked out as being worthy of receiving a bit of a hand up, which is fantastic to make things more equitable and accessible for others. And having met Jeremy in real life around the Trapped at Line live venues, Jeremy is one of the good guys that you'll meet, with a sense of fun and a very gentle manner about him. Thank you very much for your time, Jeremy, and thank you.
I really appreciate it, Raphael. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
The Boldness would like to thank Jeremy Moses for coming on to The Boldness today, talking about the show Hear/See No Evil. The Boldness has some fantastic interviews coming up with performers from Melbourne Fringe, including Tea Party, Shitbag, Condute Bodies. It's going to be absolutely great. I'm sitting on some very significant news, and let's go out with a song called Every Different Form by the Ace of Hearts. Thank you for joining me today, and keep listening to 3CR 855 AM.